Riz, Skibbity, Sigma, Gooning, Looks Maxing, all those words are part of a new cultural language on the internet called brain rot. But if you think brain rot only lives on the internet, you probably don't have a kid in middle school.
I recently did a survey of 1,500 middle school teachers and parents. 85% of the teachers and parents reported that their kids are saying Riz, and 60% heard the word Skibbity. These kids are using these words.
We'll tell you what those words mean, where they come from, and what they say about the state of the internet today, this week on Power User.
Welcome to Switched On Pop. I'm musicologist Nate Sloan.
And I'm songwriter Charlie Harding.
Charlie, I don't know if you know this about me, but I actually have three parents.
Really? I know Bob and Randy.
There's Bob and Randy and Parliament Funkadelic.
How did they raise you?
Well, some kids had nursery rhymes. Bob, Bob, Black Sheep, perhaps.
Uh-huh.
I had this.
So just to be clear, at night, you would dim the lights, you turn on a sound machine, and then George Clinton would slowly walk into the room saying, tear the roof off, the mother sucker, tear the roof off, the sucker.
Okay, not my literal parent, Charlie, but I'm speaking in metaphor here. This music raised me. And as I grew up, this obsession with Funkadelic Parliament continued. My eighth grade yearbook quote was, put a glide in your stride, a dip in your hip, and come on up to the mothership.
Put a glide in your stride, a dip in your hip, and come on to the mothership.
That was from their track, Mothership Connection.
And remind me, what was the name of your band? One of your first bands?
That would be Function with a K. It sounded like you said, ugh, but I think you meant, oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, you often grill me real hard. I'm just going to let you get away with this one.
I can't argue with that, Charlie. Now, my youthful obsession did not dim with age. In fact, it only deepened. I started to learn more about the figures behind this legendary group. The one you mentioned, the ringleader, George Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
The keyboard and synthesizer wizard, Bernie Worrell.
Oh, yeah.
And holding down the low end, the master of the space bass, Bootsy Collins.
Of all the members of Parliament Funkadelic, Bootsy definitely is the one that feels like he's coming down from the mothership from a whole other galaxy.
Totally. I mean, he had so many alter egos, right? Bootzilla, who we just heard from, the rhinestone cowboy.
Right.
He had Casper, the funky ghost, Boo Manchu, Fuzzface.
What? I didn't know all these.
And once he broke off from Parliament Funkadelic in the late 1970s and started his own band, he called it Bootsy's Rubber Band.
Mm.
You know, nothing could just be normal for him.
Does Bootsy's Rubber Band prefigure the saying, it slaps by decades? Rubber band slaps, the bass slaps?
No, I think it's extrapolating from the world of slap. I think it refers to stretching out.
Oh, just stretching.
Stretching
things.
Out in a rubber band.
Okay.
Which was actually the title of one of their songs. And you can hear at this point, like, his own voice is starting to become as iconic as his bass playing.
They call me Casper, not the friendly ghost, but the Holy Ghost. Today, and I'm here to make the shout.
The way he sings is like a rubber band. It stretches. It's slack. He sort of glides between notes. It's a funky way of singing.
And there's so much personality. It just like pops out of the grooves of the record. He reeled off a string of hits as a solo artist. Probably the best known today is the devastating slow jam, I'd Rather Be With You.
I'd rather be with you.
Obviously, the clear inspiration for Childish Gambino's Redbone from the mid-2010s.
I always loved Bootsy's music, Charlie, but the more I learned about him, the more I learned that he was devoted to this funk music, not just as a genre, but really as a philosophy, a way of being in the world, searching for open-mindedness, willing collaboration, and frankly, like joy. He was a kid from Cincinnati who went from playing in garage funk bands to touring and recording with James Brown, then Parliament Funkadelic, then to his solo work, and from there, collaborations with D-Light, Fatboy Slim, Silk Sonic, Kali Uchis. I mean, this is a pretty unique profile for a 20th century artist.
Yeah.
So I've always been amazed and kind of fascinated by Bootsy Collins. And I was pretty excited when I got the chance to speak with him about the wild ride he's had as an artist. He's got a new solo album coming out. So this was the perfect chance to get on Zoom with him. And even though it was the middle of the day, Charlie, and he was sitting at his kitchen table, he did not disappoint, okay? He was wearing purple-tinted star-shaped sunglasses.
A must.
A studded leather bracelet on both arms.
Of course.
And a top hat with an embroidered skull and crossbone stenciled into it.
As it must be.
And this is like at 2 p.m. at a Wednesday.
Love it.
You know, they say don't meet your heroes. But this was an exception, because even though Bootsy's been making music nonstop since he was 17 years old, when I spoke to him, he had lost none of his exuberance and love of music. And listening through his discography from the very beginning to his most recent work was probably one of the great joys of my career doing this show. So, Charles, without further ado,
all right,
here's Bootsy.
Let's get funky.
Hello.
Hello. Yes.
How's everybody doing?
Welcome.
Glad to be here. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. We are in the presence of Casper the Friendly Ghost, Bootzilla, Stern Nose, Devoid of Funk. I'm talking, of course, about the one and only Bootsy Collins.
Oh, man, it's a pleasure, man. Just to, like I say, get back in the loop, do what we do, and keeping the funk alive.
You were keeping the funk alive with your latest track, Funk Not Fight.
Yeah.
I'm not a fighter, but I'm a lover. And you've also got a new album on the way.
Yes, right.
With these exciting developments in mind, I would love to take this opportunity to go through your incredibly funky career and talk about some of the ways that you have forever changed the sound of popular music around the world, and think about how your career has led you to what you're working on now in 2024.
Yeah. You know, you tell me where to start, and you know, I'll try to get there, because it's been a while. It's been a while.
I'd love to take it all the way back to maybe one of the first songs that you ever recorded as a member of the Cincinnati funk band, The House Guests.
Yeah.
What So Never the Dance. Should we listen to a little bit of this together?
Let's do it. Wow, man, that brings back a ton of memories.
One of the things I love about listening to this is the fact that you're already highlighting your bass playing. We get a bass break in the first, I don't know, 15 seconds of this tune.
Let's dance! Well, as you know, we wasn't trying to do nothing fabulous as far as bass breaks and stuff like that. We were just trying to be a band, you know? In the era I was coming up, was bands coming up front and doing their thing, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, for me at that time, it was all about the band. You know, if you get up there and do your best and get down and just give it up, you know? Mm. And that's what we did in the house guest. It made believers out of all of the whole band. We were so young, you know, it was like, you know, we didn't have no responsibilities, you know? So it's like the only responsibility we had was to play music for the people, you know, and have fun doing it.
And you all came from a incredibly funky musical city, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
How did that city shape the sound and help you develop into the musician that you became?
Well, it was so many musicians around in Cincinnati. I mean, great musicians that never made it. You know, they were always working on the weekends. And I knew a lot of older musicians because of my brother, Catfish. And he was like 8 years older than I. So when I was like 9 years old, he was like in his teens, you know, and playing in clubs and stuff. And that's what eventually I aspired to be. You know, I wanted to be like him, playing in clubs and watching people dance and have a good time. And to me, they were like the heroes, you know. So that kind of rubbed off on me early on. I watched every move they made, you know. They might think or thought I wasn't paying attention, but I was paying attention.
Well, that attention paid off because you and your brother Catfish joined James Brown's band.
Yeah.
And we can hear your bass playing and Catfish's guitar playing on some of the most iconic tracks of James Brown and the JBs. For instance, Super Bad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Watch me. Watch me. I got it. Watch me. I got it. Hey! I got something that makes me want to shout. I got something that tells me what it's all about. I got soul, and I'm super bad.
Yeah.
Man, Boosie, that you're working hard on that bass line. That's a lot. That's a workout.
To me, it was like, you know, it wasn't a workout at all. It was like, this is fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's all groovy, you know what I mean? And plus, I'm learning from the best of them. And I'm surrounded by all these great musicians. Clyde Stubblefield, I mean, Jabbo, you know, Fred Wesley. I mean, and it just goes on. Bobby Bird. I mean, these cats is just heroes and legends. It was just such a beautiful thing. I couldn't have written that script any better. We had a chance to have fun with our audience, you know, and we with James Brown. Come on, man. It didn't get no better than that, you know?
I feel like the next project that you were a part of, Parliament Funkadelic, had this larger-than-life performance, but it was also very tight and very sharply rehearsed.
Yeah.
I feel like you can hear that on a Parliament song, which you contribute another incredible bass line to, Give Up the Funk, parenthesis, Tear the Roof Off the Sucker.
Wow. 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 Man, that's pretty incredible.
I couldn't agree more. And something I love about listening to some of your bass parts, Bootsy, is they're not just accompaniments. They're melodies in themselves. If you took away everything and just listened to a Bootsy Collins bass line, it would be enough because it's a melody.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, you know, whether with this particular song, if you can remember, or maybe other Parliament songs, what was the process like for creating some of these melodic bass lines?
Well, really, listening to that inner universe, because I didn't really learn how to play bass. I didn't learn from another bass player.
Right.
It's just stuff I was hearing in my head. And I never wanted to be like nobody else playing bass. So I just absorbed whatever came forth, and I wanted to put it out the way I would, what I do. how do I hear this song, you know, this track? And whatever I heard, that's what I played. I could just kind of go at it any kind of way I wanted to. And bass lines at that time was the big deal. You know, it wasn't how fast you can play them or how many notes can you play. It was all about a bass line that you can kind of follow. And I wanted to be able to do that and make it funky and put it on the one. And so by not being taught, I didn't know I was breaking rules when I was doing stuff you wasn't supposed. That ain't, you know, that ain't what you're supposed to be playing, you know.
Right.
I didn't know that. So I just played anything I felt, you know, and that gave me, I guess, more of an opportunity to do my thing, which I didn't know what it was yet. So I was learning all the time. And I never want to stop learning because I kind of surprised myself on this new record that's coming out, coming up with some bass lines like what you were just talking about. I wanted to see myself do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, because, dang, I used to do that all the time, you know? And by experiencing this whole new record, it's all coming out now. And it's a real good feeling, really good feeling.
I love hearing that. And I think that's such an important takeaway, you know, never stop learning, never stop growing.
Yeah.
I love that idea. What you were just saying about the freedom to experiment.
Yeah.
I feel like that's something that I start to see in the way that you dress and the star-shaped glasses that you're wearing right now and the incredible hat with a beaded skull on it.
Yeah.
And then not only that, Bootsy, but some of the characters that you created. One of my favorites is Sir Nose Devoid of Funk, who makes an appearance on your track, The Pinocchio Theory.
Right. Hey. Yeah, there he is. There he is.
This is the world's funkiest sing-along.
Sing!
R-U-B-B-E-R-F-A-N-S. Rubber fans. And funketeers. Sing!
R-U-B-B-E-R-F-A-N-S. Rubber fans. And funketeers. Yeah. That's just like yesterday, man. It's, you know, like having a full band in the studio.
Yeah.
I mean, being on tour and being on stage is one thing that's incredible. But in the studio, it's a whole different ball game.
Do you remember this character coming into being, Sir Nose Devoid of Funk? Like, did he emerge spontaneously or?
He was always around. George kind of called him out.
He summoned him, sort of invoked him. I love that.
Right, yeah. Right. And it was such a cool thing because we were both into characters and cartoons and, you know, movies, books. And we got an opportunity to put a lot of that stuff, not just the music, but a lot of the stuff that we were digging on ourselves, that along with the trips we were taking, you know, it started to make sense. You know, it wasn't just for us individually. It was for the people, you know, and we got a chance to share that with a lot of people. And that made it even that much more fun.
I love that. And the trips you were taking, those weren't trips on a jet plane, I think.
You think? No, they were real trips. And, you know, I wouldn't advise anybody to take a trip like the ones we were taking. But, you know, we somehow got through it and, you know, we're still here to do it, you know.
Around this time, Bootsy, you release so much amazing music. One track I'd be so keen to hear more about is I'd Rather Be With You.
Oh, wow. Whoa, yeah. Man, that's the story of my life. you know, and a lot of other people's lives, you know. That kind of started with my first relationship that I had, you know, when I was like 12, 13. And I always told this girl, you know, because, you know, I was a kid, I liked to play around with a lot of different girls at an early age.
Yeah.
And I would tell this girl, you know, I had to go do this, that, and the other, but, you know, I'd really rather be with you.
Yeah.
That's where the idea came from. I said to myself, I need to really write a song, because it was coming from the heart. When I said it, you know, when I said it, I meant it. And then when Gary Cooper and myself started hooking up the Bootsy's Rubber Band, that one and Vanish in Our Sleep came from that same source of real experiences that I was, you know, going through.
If I could take you away to a better day, oh, how I love would turn out okay.
I mean, all of these songs kind of, especially with the slow songs I was doing, they had something to do always with what I was going through. My experiences with girls mainly, and I had a chance to get a lot of that out of me.
Yeah, you called it a slow song, and that's a good description. It's also a song that features your slap bass technique.
Yeah,
and that's so many. I don't associate those, a slow song and slap bass. Those don't always go together.
Yeah,
but it's very effective here because it's almost like the bass is talking and providing more narrative to this story.
Yeah, of more of what I was really feeling.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, it wasn't like that's the way I planned it. It's just it came out like that. You know, and I got a chance to talk through the bass in a unfamiliar format. And it was like, you know, and I didn't know that that's what I was doing at the time. And then when I started looking back, it's like, dang, somebody in there knew something. But I can't take the credit for that. Somebody knew something.
Yeah.
But it was pretty amazing to me that was coming through me and I never thought about it like that.
It's a song that's had a lot of longevity. And, you know, recently there was a song by Donald Glover, a.k.a. Childish Gambino, called Redbone. And a lot of people heard I'd Rather Be With You when they listened to that. You know, on one hand, that's a really beautiful tribute to your legacy. Some people said, oh, he's ripping him off. I was curious how you felt about that moment.
Well, you know, actually, we talked, Donald Glover and I, we talked, you know, this was after.
Yeah.
And actually, I felt good about it. I mean, you know, because he wasn't like the first one that did that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of people that was doing that. And I thought it was a very cool thing to do, especially when we started getting recognition and it getting introduced to the younger kids, the next generation. And then on top of that, we started getting paid for it. It was like, what? I thought we had to pay you guys. You know, so it was really a cool thing, you know. And for me and for George and for P-Funk, the hip-hop and the new generation, that's what kept the funk alive.
Yeah.
And gave us a chance to come back around and for kids to want to know who we were and what we did and our songs. And so it was a blessing. It was a blessing. And anybody that funks with the funk, my hat goes off to them.
I'm Claire Parker.
And I'm Ashley Hamilton.
And this is Celebrity Memoir Book Club,
a podcast that says, what if your must-read book list and your absolutely must-not-read book list got married? If you've ever seen a celebrity memoir and thought, what could they possibly write about?
The answer a lot of times is nothing, so we have to make up the jokes to fill in the blanks.
Yeah, so if you want to know what's in there, but you don't want to waste your eyeballs' strength, we're going to tell you what's in it, so hop along for the ride.
Who are we? We are two best friends and two comedians who had enough time to read a full book a week.
We live in New York, so we think we know everything about everything, and we're going to tell you what's what.
And if we're wrong, that's part of the fun.
So if you are interested in celebrities, in literature, in a good time with your pals, tune into Celebrity Memoir Book Club.
The podcast where we read the book so that you don't have to.
You can listen to Celebrity Memoir Book Club wherever you get your podcasts.
And we can't wait to hang.
There's been so many young artists who have looked to you as a source of inspiration.
Yeah.
And incorporated you into their own projects.
Yeah.
Fatboy Slim's Weapon of Choice.
Oh, man. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Let's listen to that. Let's listen to a little bit of that.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
All right.
Don't be shy by the tone of my voice. Check out my new weapon. Weapon of choice. Yeah, I love it. I love it, man. I mean, who would have ever thought or who would have ever knew, man? I'm up there jamming with Fatboy in the studio. We're like upstairs in the room, locked in the room and just jamming that. Oh, man. It was so incredible. I didn't know I had stomped a hole in the floor, but
really?
Yeah. To this day, he always reminds me of that. You know, like, oh, man. So you would remember that. What about the record, man?
Well, I'm curious if that was like a new kind of experience for you, because did you play bass on that or just vocals?
I think I did bass, too.
Bass, too. So, yeah. So, you know, earlier you talked about being with the rubber band in the studio and that electricity. I imagine this was a little different because it's not a live band and you're putting your vocals and your bass on top of this pre-recorded track.
It was such a new experience that I was looking forward to what's new and what's the next journey, what's the next experience. And that's the best, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was really reaching for those kind of projects that would, you know, that I wasn't familiar with or that I didn't usually do, that made me feel that same thing that I felt with the band, but it might have been one or two people, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so it's like whatever it was that excited me and challenged me to do, you know, something that I ain't never done.
Yeah.
That is what made me feel like the whole band was around me.
No, I understand what you're saying. It's that excitement that came from the challenge and embracing something that you hadn't done before.
Yes. Instead of being scared of it or being like, oh, I never did that before, so I ain't going to mess with that. I was wanting to do all of this, all the crazier, the better for me, you know, Buckethead, you know.
Yeah. Buckethead, the legendary mysterious guitarist who performs in a white mask, long curly wig, and an upturned KFC bucket on his head.
I cut his first record, his first album here in Cincinnati. And, you know, nobody really knows that, you know, Buckethead Land, you know, we recorded that. And that's when I was trying to figure out, because I knew things were changing. I knew different music was coming in and I wanted to be a part of it. It wasn't like, you know, the funk, this is all I'm going to do forever. And, you know, I'm going to have a band forever. At first, I used to think that.
Yeah.
You know, but when you actually start seeing the things changing in front of you, you either run from it or you run towards it. And so I ran towards it.
Yeah.
I guess that's a part of being crazy.
Or fearless. I mean, You see everything as an opportunity. Was there ever a collaborator who came to you and you said, no, that's just, even for me, I can't, that's too out of my, no.
I don't think there is none. No. I mean, everyone that came, we did something.
Yeah.
And it might have been crazy, but, you know, I mean, we did it. Because I don't really look at things to, let's do this hit together or formula stuff. I look at it like, let's see what, you know, what we can do together.
Yeah.
That to me is more exciting than making a hit record.
Yeah.
I've never been able to make a hit record. I mean, you know, go in the studio and say, let's make a hit. I've never been able to do that. You know, whatever comes out, you know, and if it's a hit, great. If it's not, hey, we got a chance to jam together.
You know, I think it's that positivity and that, like you were saying, the willingness to embrace change that is what attracts a lot of contemporary artists to your work.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, I think it's really cool that there's, whether you listen to a song like After the Storm by Callie Uchis and Tyler, the Creator, where you provide the introduction.
So you gotta be careful, baby, and look both ways before you cross my mind.
Or Silk Sonic, Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak.
Yeah.
And you are the MC, the guide.
The MC, the host, yeah.
Well, all right. It is I, Blaster of the Universe. Boots of the himself.
Wow, man.
Yeah.
Now, that was really like yesterday, for real.
Well, how did it feel to get that call saying, we want you to be the MC of this project?
It was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
It was pretty incredible because, first of all, I didn't know what I was going to be doing.
Mm.
And so when it broke down and Bruno was like, man, I need you to host not only this song, but the whole record. And it's like, let's do it. I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and it's like doing it like without having all the songs and what the songs feel like. And they were just putting it together.
Yeah.
So I can't say it was guesswork. It was just Bruno had a feeling.
Yeah.
And he shared that with me. And I gave him what I felt. He's a genuine genius for real.
Yeah.
He's got all this stuff in his head. He reminded me of James Brown.
Really?
His energy, his stamina, and wanting to move forward and wasn't nothing going to stop it. You know, this is the record. Now, you're talking about a hit record. He knows how to make a hit record. And, you know, a lot of artists can learn a lot from not only him, but knowing how to make a hit record. I'm not, I don't have nothing against that. It's just, I can't do it. I can be a part of one. you know what I'm saying? But somebody told me to go in and make a hit record. I can't do it, you know, because I'm going to give you all the wrong stuff.
Right.
You know, it's going to be funked up. You know?
Speaking of funked up, in 2023, you released a powerfully funky single, Funk Not Fight, featuring Baby Triggy and Phantasma.
Yes.
This kid named Money, he was always broke.
He said that was a woman, and that he made a joke. She meant the world to me.
And that was no mystery, but when it got down to it, I had to fall into his knees.
Tonight, fight.
So tell us about the message here, Funk Not Fight.
Yeah, it's more of a thing where it's a lot of violence going on now. I mean, and, you know, music, I know, has been not only a motivator, but a great communicator to pull together. Let's funk and not fight.
Yeah.
You know, because the funk brings people together. That's what we do. And we didn't come together to fight. You know, we come together to party and have a good time and, you know, hold each other up. And that's what the funk and party was all about. You know, funk, not fight. Yeah.
And Bootsy, finally, you're taking some time to talk to us. You're taking a break from the studio. What are we going to hear on the album that you're working on right now?
It's a different way of working for me. I think this album is my new challenge because I have got used to not having a band around me all the time. So I had to make these steps to learn how to record, keep the feeling, but at the same time, be communicating with somebody else like we on the phone now. Yeah. We're doing a Zoom. This is the way we do studio, you know, like 75% of the time, it's like this. The other 25%, we are in the studio. But I never worked like that. You know, it was always the band. And so I had to, I guess, take steps at a certain pace to learn how to deal with the emotional part of not having people around you.
Yeah.
You know, because that to me was like, that was part of the whole thing. That's what made The One, you know, was having everybody with you. But it's a new day and it's a new way. And I want to learn it all as much as I can, you know. And so this album is making me happy because it's showing me that, you know, you don't have to back away from anything. You know, don't be scared of the box. You know, it's like the computer in the box. Don't be scared of that, boy. You know, learn how to work it, you know? Yeah. And that's what I've been doing. And it's all a challenge. Man, it's just all these different ways and different challenges, different products and stuff you have to go through to get to the next level. And I always want to get to the next level.
I feel like that's a theme in this conversation that has come up again and again is don't stagnate.
Yeah.
Sometimes you want to shake your fist at the world because it's changing around you.
Yeah.
And you're saying, no, you have to change with it.
Well, that goes back to the song you played. Don't fake the funk or your nose got to grow, right? You cannot fake the funk, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, no matter what you're doing, that funk has to go down. It has to go down for real. And that's what we have to keep delivering to the people because they have to know that no matter what you do, you can do it too. Nobody's no better than anybody else. We all have to do it as one. And that's what the funk is about. And the album's name, and you'll be the first to know it, it's going to be called Album of the Year.
Album of the Year. Wow. We got an exclusive here on the podcast. I love it. We got a scoop.
Yeah. And I ain't going to say don't tell nobody because you can tell everybody. Have fun with it, man.
I love it.
You know, we just want to back it up. It's just like when we came out, you know, we want the funk, give up the funk, you know, and we telling everybody we're going to funk them up. Well, that's what the album of the year is going to funk you up. Yeah.
Something to look forward to.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to it too.
Good.
That's a deep thing, you know, it's like, a lot of times you can get to the point of not looking forward to anything that you do. Mm. I run into a lot of musicians and artists that, you know, just feel like they just don't know what else to do. You know, if you know, you can't beat them, funk them, you know? I mean, that's the reward right there. So stick it out there, man. Go on and get into it.
Bootsy Collins, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about your incredible career, drop some wisdom, and reminding us of the power of the one.
Power of the one, man. Keep putting it out there because it's always going to come back to you.
Absolutely.
Always. And thank you, man. This was a pleasure.
Oh, I'm so glad. All right.
Pleasure. All right.
All right. Thank you, Patty, as well.
Oh yeah, she done ran out of you ran her out of the kitchen. She's gone. have a good one, my man.
All right.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye, y'all.
Switched on Pop is produced by Rana Cruz, edited by Art Chung, engineered by Brandon McFarlane, illustrations by Iris Gottlieb, community management by Abby Barr. Our executive producer is Nishant Kurwa, a member of the Vox Media Podcast Network and a production of Vulture, which is part of New York Magazine. You can subscribe to New York Magazine at nymag.com/pod.
You can find more episodes of Switched on Pop anywhere you get podcasts. Our website, switchedonpop.com. And you can hit us up on social media at Switched on Pop. Tell us what your favorite Bootsy Collins track collaboration sample is. We want to hear what you love about this iconic artist.
We'll be back again on Tuesday when we'll be speaking with the artist Empress Of. Super exciting conversation. And until then,
thanks for listening.